coming, everyone. I'd like to call the October 1st meeting of the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee to order. Please rise for the pledge. Legislator Mitz, can you lead us in the pledge of allegiance?
I'd be honored to.
Great.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Sure. Chair Hewitt?
Here.
Deputy Chair Walz?
Here.
Legislator Donaldson?
Here.
Legislator Green?
Here.
Legislator Litz?
Here.
Legislator Nolan? And Legislator Stewart? We got five. Perfect.
Great. Now I'd like to go over the approval of the September 3rd meeting minutes. Is there any discussion on the minutes of the September 3rd meeting? Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes approved. We're going to move into resolutions this time first. Resolutions for the October 15th, 2024 legislative session. Resolution number 469, establishing a pilot program providing a 24-hour convenience recycling center in Ulster County. Is there any discussion, questions?
I think we had asked that we get some information on communities that are already doing this. I haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's important to understand if they are similar to our community, especially given the hub and spoke system that we've been talking about. We have 19 drop-off centers. Some of these communities may not have any, or certainly not 19. And it's not that I'm opposed to it, but I am concerned about unmonitored drop-off and whether that, how much contamination that would result in. It may be worth experimenting with, but I really would like to get more information.
Thank you, Legislator Green. Let the record show that Legislator Nolan is here. Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. I agree with those comments. And I wondered who was leading the research that I think we need in order to ground a pilot program like this. You know, if we check and have somebody come forward with other places that have done this, how it's been done, I would just feel a lot more grounded in setting up a pilot and to succeed. I would like whatever we set up to work. And knowing more before we start is a good way to get that to happen.
Thank you. I just would like to respond quickly. I spoke to the sponsor of the resolution. Legislator Roberts suggested that we vote on it tonight. And then he said he would deal with the results of that. Would you like to make a comment?
Yes, in general. Informally, I don't have information. Informally, one of my sisters and her husband retired out of Syracuse 3 years ago, and they moved to the city of Nashville. And when I visited them, my brother-in-law said, hey, I got this cardboard and some of these plastics. And what it was it was adjacent to a elementary school, and they looked like trailers with sliding doors. And, you know, cardboard, plastic, aluminum, kind of that sort of thing. So, I mean, like I said, I don't know a lot of the details, but, you know, informally I can say, you know, it's kind of saw how it was operated. It was just accessible 24/7.
Legislator Litz for the first time?
Sure. I know when Kevin presented this or put it together, he saw it in action, which is how he came. And he said right up, this is not an original idea by me. Down in, I believe it's Florida or wherever he was traveling, they had it. I mean, this is to go out for an RFP on a pilot program. We'd have plenty of time to vet it. I will say that my girlfriend lived in Hatfield, Pennsylvania, and it wasn't the municipality, but the apartment complex had a similar thing when you said, you know, with the sliding door, and they had smaller units for glass, cardboard, recyclables, and then the bigger units were for trash. And from what I saw, you know, once the people get used to the system, I mean, they walk down with their stuff, they throw this, throw that, throw that, throw the garbage in there, and they turn around and walk to their apartment. I don't know. It's I volunteered on Sunday to man the zero waste tent, one of the tents up at the Garlic Festival. And I will say this is the third time I've done it. The first time I had explained a lot of things to people. The second time it got better. I would say this year is the best. The biggest thing I needed to explain, people were used to the system and everything, but to keep the people started throwing what they thought were plastic forks in the garbage, but they're actually made from corn and they're compostable, so they can literally go into the compost bins. And that's the biggest explanation I had throughout was, no, you don't have to throw your forks, knives, and spoons in the garbage. You can throw them in here because they're made of corn. My first time I'm explaining to everybody, nope, that's garbage. This is compostable, you know, and so on and so forth. So I honestly think if we go ahead with the pilot, it is a pilot, and see how it works. And it's really all about education. Once the people see it, understand it, it becomes habit. It's like filling out your timesheet. Seems like a burden in the beginning, but you know something? By the time you're there a couple of years, we used to call it pee on a sheet. Put the present down in your time. So you just walk in the morning, do your thing, pee on a sheet. The end of the day, you put your hours down. Mm-hmm. It just becomes natural. So I'd like to see that natural progression start sooner than later.
Legislator Nolan?
Yeah, I think Legislator Litz has just described why you need to have staffing at these sites in order to educate people before you leave them completely unstaffed. And I'm purposely using the verb staff and not a gendered word that can be used to mean to staff. So we know that education on these things helps people a lot. To make something more convenient could help as well. I'm not sure how this request for proposals would be written at present that would generate, you know, it seems like it's so broad. You know, where would this site go? So is the consultant supposed to help find the right site, the right system, all of that? I wonder if the Department of Environment could help us out here on this, or the UCRRA, by helping us get ready to pass the resolution to write, you know, to post a request for proposals. Because I think we have some money to put towards this, but we put it towards something and we do it poorly, then we may not have it to do a second time. So measure twice, cut once. I normally would move things forward on the request of a legislator, but I don't think that we've seen this legislator here to talk with this committee. I haven't heard from the Department of Environment that this legislator has talked with the Department of Environment. There's a lot of expertise about this subject. There's a resource recovery agency. There's a solid waste committee. I don't hear anything from those committees about how they're working with this either. So it just seems like it's an idea asking for a solution. And we can move forward. We might get something, but I can't support it tonight. I could support a postponement. And again, then You know, if Legislator Roberts himself doesn't want to do that research, then hand it off to somebody on this committee or on one of those other committees I mentioned, and as you know, ask for some help and get it spruced up a little bit. It's spruceable.
Legislator Lips?
The county, unfortunately, is behind on the times. In Hannaford parking lot in Highland, New York, there is a building. And this, quote, system already exists. Maybe that company would be the one that would, you know, put in the RFP. But you go there 24/7. You do have to get your bags from them. And there's a code on the bag. You put your stuff in there. You tie it up. You go there. You flash that code in front of the reader. And it's connected with you, your name, address, and everything. The door pops open, you throw it in, you close it, and they pay you so much per pound for your recyclables that you put in there. So, I mean, we're behind the times, and I think it's time just to catch up a little bit. It's an RFP. The education, whoever comes up and puts the RFP in, they might want to staff it for the first 3 months, 4 months until people get acclimated. That's up to them, you know. And if there is contamination, it's up to them to correct the contamination. It wouldn't be our problem. So, I don't know. I feel the same. We could put it up for a vote tonight. It's a pilot program. If it doesn't work out, we pull it.
Legislator Nolan?
I would just say again, Legislator Litz, you're a font of information, might be the right person to do this research. Now that you've said that you can get a system where you can track it back to the individual, what's in those bags, then you have a way that you can educate the people who need the education and leave everybody else alone. So I might want the RFP to go out specifying that we want such a system. And we don't know that that company in Highland would submit a proposal on this. I would love it if they did. But if they don't, and then we put out a request for proposals and we don't get anybody who has that system in it because we haven't specified, yeah, then, you know, our best bidder will not have what we now think is state-of-the-art technology. So I'd like to think that we might specify that in a proposal unless there's some reason not to. It sounds, you know, even though you have to have the bags, then you get people really recycling in a way that you could get usable product.
Yeah, because they have to be accountable.
They'd be accountable.
And the second resolution says that.
It says that it has to have be traceable.
No, it says the chair of the legislature or the chair's designee shall have the opportunity to provide input on the RFP document. This is prior to the RFP document going public, being released to the public.
Deputy Executive LaValle, would you like to say something?
Yes. I would just remind the committee that it was in just this summer that the Aqua Reform Committee concluded its work regarding review of kind of the current state and went in detail through waste. Also recycling, looking kind of and coming up with suggestions countywide. This is very consistent with the mission of the public benefit agency that AQRA is, that was, you know, formed at the request of the legislature to manage recycling and solid waste for the county. There is a fair amount of professional expertise when it comes into looking at and evaluating different systems to make the system more effective. I can remember years back to this point, the city of Kingston looking at a system weigh the totals for the amount of waste that was being diverted to curbside for residents and track it through RFID tags in order to basically give folks, you know, a virtual pat on the back or coupons for their recycling rate. So there are many vendors. It's just an example. There are many vendors. There are many systems for this. And I am just kind of wondering at why are we not leaning on our agency professionals who do this type of work to think about what and how this is this the solution to the problem that we're really looking at in Maester County.
Thank you. Legislator Green? Did you have your hand up?
Yes. That was my question, and I double-checked, and the staff responsible for issuing the RFP would be purchasing, and, you know, I'm sure they could do some research, but I don't think that they have the experience or the expertise to put together the RFP, and I do understand there's going to be review. I'm more and more convinced in favor of this, but it just seems to me it should rest with the RRA, who is going to receive the material, I assume is going to receive the material. There is not flow control over recyclables. There is over the garbage, and it wouldn't make sense to have some go one way and some go another. Well, it might make sense, but that is still a sticking point. I am very increasingly interested in doing the experiment. I think some really good points have been raised about that, but I'm a little bit concerned about purchasing writing the RFP, but there may already be templates that make sense that they can adjust, you know. Yes.
Did you have a direct response?
Just a follow-up question. If it's purchasing that does the RFP, what's the intent for the ultimate implementation? I think that that's also something that has to be kind of front in the formulation of even a review of this idea or concept.
Legislator Nolan.
Make a motion that we postpone for 1 month.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to
go with the postponement.
Experiment. I just, the purchasing bothers me, but I'll.
We're voting on the postponement right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Postponement for a month. So
okay.
We can work
yes.
Out.
Yes to postponement.
Okay. We have Nolan, Green.
Green.
Stewart. And I'll be for postponement.
I'll be no.
No? All those in favor, we already did. All those opposed. 4-3.
So we kick the proverbial can down with
in favor of the postponement.
Yes, okay.
Could I also ask if the chair reach out to the sponsor and see if the sponsor would be agreeable to meeting with someone from the UCRRA to help develop this idea further? Legislator Green just mentioned trash, and it wasn't my understanding that there would be trash collection or garbage collection at these sites, only recycling. Mm-hmm. So even that seems unclear to me. I'd like to know what we're, you know, and whether we would specify that in the RFP, or based on what Deputy Director Laval is saying, if there are a whole bunch of different approaches, maybe we don't specify. We do just put it out there, as is being suggested here. But I'd like to know that the field is wide open and that we don't have any preferences before I just throw it out that way or vote to throw it out that way.
Just a small, and yes. Just to remind the committee that the UCRRA Reform Committee's report, which is very comprehensive with recommendations on, including on recycling, that is meant to be information for everyone in preparation of a new contract with the UCRRA to lay the groundwork for looking at exploring different models for diversion and reuse, and not just solid waste disposal. So there's an agency which has been formed at the request of the legislature to manage solid waste and recycling for Ulster County. And we are all in the points where we're going to be negotiating a new contract with an agency.
Curious why they haven't done this already. They've been in business for years, and
ask them.
This should be something they would be bringing and saying and implementing long before the legislature having to put their two cents in.
Legislator Stewart?
I was just going to say, like, in concept, I like this idea, but I think that I just kind of wanted to second what Legislator Nolan said, that I think we really have to, and what Deputy Executive LaValle said, that I think we really have to involve the UCRRA in this conversation. And I think to do anything prior to that conversation with the UCRRA would be premature.
I agree. I almost wanted to move it to the floor, but I want to kick the can down the road in the right department.
The cans, the bottles, and the glass.
Yes. And like I said, I think it's a great idea in concept, but I think we have to work out these details.
Yes. It's possible that the sponsor will do a petition discharge, but either way, I'm going to call him to talk about that. Oh, really?
I think on a vote postponed, we would have had to vote it down.
Okay, thank you. Resolution number 470, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 10 of 2024, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster, Chapter 205, Food Service, Article 2, Use of Disposable Polystyrene Foam to Include Polypropylene Plastic, to be held on Tuesday, November 19th, 2024 at 7:05 p.m. Do I have a motion?
I'll move the motion. And I'll second it.
Great. Yes, Legislator Nolan.
So I have a similar reaction to this resolution, although it's just setting a public hearing. But I think the public has energy for our efforts to pursue diversion and recycling. I'm not sure they have infinite energy for that. And so to move something forward when I'm not sure that it is our best direction. It's, you know, I think it potentially wastes or diffuses that energy. I provided for the committee this afternoon, so everybody may not have seen it, but some materials on recycling and these efforts, I feel, are best carried forward when we think about them very carefully in terms of what next step do we take after banning polystyrene, number 6, the recycling chart. And there are some really bad plastics, black plastics, number 3, PVC, which is polyvinyl chloride, number 7, PC, which is polycarbonate. If you look at those in terms of their prevalence and their toxicity to humans and the environment, the difficulty in disposing of them, therefore the cost of disposing of them, and their lack of benefits, all of those on those criteria are worse than the one proposed in this law. And all of those have easily available, safer alternatives, which this one does. And I think the intent of this law is adding polypropylene to this law is to get us to move in the direction of easily available safer alternatives. I would like to maybe see us re-examine this and consider whether or not we should make that our focus, how to encourage use of easily available safer alternatives over all of these plastics. If we are going to single out a plastic, I think this committee should work on which of the plastics that are in broad use needs to be addressed next. And my urging the committee to do this work is because I believe polypropylene would be far down the list after a careful consideration.
Legislator Green?
Yeah, I am concerned that this should go through the Recycling Oversight Committee, which was created to determine what materials are required for recycling and what materials are not. In this case, it's a little bit different, but I think it seems to me that that research really should take place in Recycling Oversight. Essentially, it would be removing plastics that are currently required because they're not exempted. And this would be removing them from that requirement, if I understand it correctly. So that might be a logical next step before we go to public hearing. I'm interested in hearing what the public has to say, but I just wonder if a referral to the Recycling Oversight Committee might be appropriate.
Legislator Stewart?
I was going to say, also, as in the last one, I think it would be very helpful to hear from the Resource Recovery Agency on their thoughts of this as well. And so I don't know if we as a committee should reach out to them or if we should ask the sponsor to reach out to them. I'm not sure what would be the most appropriate way of going about doing that.
Multiple times, and when Director Ryder was here last month, he mentioned how all clamshells are being thrown away. And that's the purpose of this adjustment to the law, is to prevent this term wish cycling from happening and put the responsibility on corporations to stop making things we can't recycle. It's 5 and 6 plastics. It's a easy lift for our county to get the UCRRA to stop throwing out 1 and 2 clamshells. They're just grouping them all together and they're throwing everything out, when we can actually recycle 1 and 2s. Legislator Litz, and then
yeah,
Deputy.
I think what Mark said when he was here is they throw them all out because they have food contamination. So even if they're 1s and 2s with food contamination, they're supposed to be thrown out. Unless they're going to wash them all and then figure out which ones are 1s and 2s, but he said he doesn't have the staff to do that.
Yes. To respond directly, since he said that, I've been watching my garbage of which clamshells are dirty. Almost none of the clamshells are dirty. So he's saying that without real backing. I would love to know a percentage of filthy clamshells, and can we dip them in hot water? Deputy Executive Levout, and then Legislator Lee.
I just wanted to, I think the discussion of weighing human health impacts, potential human health impacts from, you know, the recyclability of the material is something that deserves attention. Legislator Nolan was stating that if these aren't used and these are some of the more innocuous for human health, what then becomes the most prevalent type of material in the, you know, for food packaging? Then again, after having spent, I think we tallied up that we had something like, I don't know, 30 or 40 meetings with the Upper Reform Committee. So we spent a lot of time talking about both the ability and the equipment of Upper to recycle, as well as the markets. I think they're primarily limited right now by their facility. These are items that were discussed in the report and our recommendations of the report as well. So I think there might be additional kind of fact-finding around exactly what's the barrier there with recyclability as far as these clamshells. If it is just food waste, I believe it's because they don't have optical sorters. There is a facility, ironically, because the county uses county waste to haul our recycling and our solid waste from this building. If you were to bring a clamshell and throw it out in a single stream here, it goes to the facility in Albany and it is recycled. So it does also depend on the MRF. So these are all pieces of it that might require just a little more kind of digging.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan, and then Stewart.
I like the way this conversation is going and appreciate the sponsor for bringing this topic. I would like to see us having a conversation Since I do think that number five, polypropylene, is safer for humans if heated, which a lot of people do with plastics in their microwaves, even when instructed not to do so.
So safer than what?
It's safer than the other plastics out of which these, which would be substituted under this current law. This current law, by not specifying that we're championing paper products or hemp products or bamboo products or compostable products, leaves open that a worse plastic will come in to fill this void. So I would rather see us, before we would consider doing something like that, find the better alternatives. But also, since these are used so much because of their relative safety to humans and the environment, I would love to think about finding a site where we could put a big station where we wash it all and ship it to Albany. Because I think people are eager to wish cycle.
Right.
And if their wish could be fulfilled by a centralized place in the county where those clamshells go, I already take my thin film plastics to sites that will take thin film. And I'm not the only one. Those bins are regularly used and full many times when I reach them. What if we could do something similar, you know, for these? Number five is recyclable. It just isn't recycled well in Ulster County. So could we fix that? And could we maybe have a task force that would look for alternatives that would be acceptable to the industries that use these bad plastics?
Yeah. Before I go on to you, Legislator Stewart, I wanted to mention, I heard about the Greenway list during the Garlic Festival, that every vendor had to buy certain things that were compostable, and they had to choose from a list they provided. Our procurement department can help with that list, make it affordable, make it a large enough purchase where we can negotiate pricing. Because as I said last month, as a restaurant owner, I know that the compostables are double the price than the 5 and 6 mm-hmm. clamshell. So how can we help food service providers not struggle from this law? I have Legislator Stewart and then Liz.
I have two comments. First of all, I really appreciate the sponsor, the comments about trying to put the onus back on the industry who is actually producing all this stuff. And I'm wondering if maybe we should reach out to our state assembly person or our state senator to see if there's any actions. And some other people may know this already, I don't. But I'm wondering, maybe we should reach out to our state representatives to see if there's anything that we could do on the state level, because I think that would be much more effective than on, you know, a county level.
I know there's something about corporate responsibility. Vicki,
yeah.
You know that?
Yes, and I can respond to that. It's called the Reduce Packaging and Recycled Infrastructure Act.
Okay.
And it got through the Senate, but it didn't get through the Assembly or vice versa this past year, but it is going to be worked on again in January. It was originally for 50% reduction in packaging by 2000, in 12 years. Okay. Once it passed. Now, because of pushback, it's 30%, but at least it's something. And that's something that I totally agree with. It needs to be done. A lot needs to be done at the state level. And I know that you guys, I know the legislature had written a resolution.
The memorializing,
yes,
support it.
Supported.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
yeah. Great. So maybe we'll follow up and see what we could do.
Well, I think that would be great.
And you can go on their website and just put in the packaging reduction, and you can find out the bill number. I don't know it all.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Legislator Litz.
Well, we're just going to further the discussion. Everything on site at the Garlic Festival had to be compostable. And this is a picture of the box that the forks come in. And on the side, it says made from plant-based materials with a picture of a ear of corn. They're made from corn.
Nice.
But I will tell you, the lady I had this discussion with who operates one of the booths said that the cost of that box is $13 for 100 fork.
Wow.
Which, I don't know, you can buy plastic forks, I think,
for $4.
Yeah, $1.99 or something like that. And, but I noticed everybody there had it. So I had a discussion with somebody in the Kiwanis Club who runs that and said they told the vendors when they signed up and made an application of it, it is mandatory to have compostable packaging. And they said, if we find, we're walking around and looking, if we find someone that does not have compostable product, they have to close their booth down and leave it there. They're not going to move people away for them to come in with their truck and trailer or whatever. So their booth remains closed for the rest of the day, and they make no money. So that worked very well.
I would think that worked. Yeah.
And the lady who, you know, talked to me about that, the original lady, said that they ran out of some product, something, some packaging of some sort. Went to all the stores around Saugerties, could not buy compostable. Yeah. And her son could. He didn't know about that. He went to another store and he bought whatever it was that they needed. And the Kiwanis came around and said, that's not compostable. And they were going to shut them down. And they, she had these boxes that were there. And she said, I bought all that stuff. I sold out all of that stuff. And my son went and purchased this. And they said, well, okay, you better get some for tomorrow because you're going to be done. And they went out and went somewhere 20 miles, 30, 40 miles away to go buy compostable forks or whatever it was that was compostable.
Wow.
But I don't know. We're not there as a society there yet. We need to be.
Yeah, our stores don't stock this stuff.
And I will tell you, every single container, your clamshells, not only were contaminated, they all contained food.
Mm.
Some of them were almost full. But the people bought them, liked it, ate the stuff, said, wow, this is too much food for me, and throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
And in another venue, I saw where people were, you know, take out stuff from whatever. And unfortunately, everyone I saw was, I know you say you clean yours. You might be the only one in your neighborhood. Because everybody else throws it out with food in it or contaminated.
Yeah. Well, I mostly use compostable, and those go to the compost. Legislator Nolan?
Yes. When I buy things that are in clamshells, I always wash them out. I always wash out sick. Because I live in the country. I live out in Shandaken. And if I put stuff with food in it, in my garbage, I am not going to have just garbage in my garbage can. I'm going to have all kinds of critters.
Mm-hmm.
So these are habits that we can get into, and they're not really difficult. The plastic goes on the drying rack just with the dishes, and when it's dry, then it goes into recycling. I was looking for the card. I don't think I had the foresight to take a photograph of it, but at the Olive Day this year, there was a booth for the person who had been, I think, contracted with Olive Day to provide all kinds of recycling options for the vendors. So they all had a person they could go to, and this is that person's business. He had said he had hoped to come tonight. He's not here, but I'll bring his information or circulate it. So there is the beginning of an industry that we could connect with to help us on some of these, or that the UCRRA could reach out to. And people were enjoying the day with the all of the materials being able to be handled without waste, with just a little extra effort. So Ulster County's been a leader on this. I think we should continue leading on it.
Mm-hmm.
If we are going to do something like what this resolution contemplates, I would ask us to consider adding black plastic to the styrene, polystyrene ban. Because,
tell me the scientific name for that.
It is called black plastic.
God,
Very nice.
Because I'm wondering if we can add that word to this.
I think it is, as best I can tell, within the industry, that is the term that is used, and it covers a host of things. It doesn't have a number in the recycling stuff, as far as I know, because none of it's recycling. Mm-hmm. And what makes it black is often heavy metals.
Wow.
So it is totally toxic to humans and the environment. Most people do not know it. As far as I know, there's no recycling center that handles it. As a general rule of thumb, the clearer a plastic is, the more likely it is to be recycled. And each time you add a tint to it, either by mixing it with other plastic that is tinted or by adding a chemical or mineral, you make it less recyclable. These are black because they have so many things in them. And so I couldn't find any place that takes black plastic, just like there's no place that takes polystyrene. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the bases that we used for saying we were going to ban it. We literally, once it came into the community, there was no way for us to handle it. We need to check with UCRA and the recycling committee to see if I'm wrong about that black plastic, but
they're not.
Okay. So, Beyond Plastics agrees with me. I'm ready to go with it.
Yeah.
A little bit of a list. I'm just going to add quickly that UCRA has a whole shed that has three bin recyclable stations for zero waste. I borrowed them last week for my event. And still, people just throw stuff in any hole if you're not watching. But they have the literature, the buckets, the bags, everything. And when I returned it, Mark said, I wish more people knew about this. Mm-hmm. So we can also help promote that. Mm-hmm. I have a bit of a list. Legislator Walls for the first time.
I do a direct quick.
Sure. Direct. Go ahead.
At the Ulster County Fair last year and this year, they used that system, and I don't think they were able to get much out of it because it was unsupervised. At the Garlic Festival, there are people there teaching the public. I think that public recycling can be done, but it's going to be a generation of teaching before it really happens more or less automatically.
Yeah, thank you. Legislator Walls and then Stewart.
Just a quick question. The compostable clamshells, how long does it take for them to break down in a compost pile?
No, the compostables.
Compostables.
Yeah, yeah.
Ones is 500.
Less than
my wife hates them because they stand out. They're whitish, and so I bury them all the time. And once they're gone.
Oh, really? Wow, that's got to have been longer.
You can recognize them after 3 weeks.
When you compose,
Legislator Stewart.
This one's like Legislator Nolan. I'm one of those people who washes the plastic containers, and like you, if I were to throw that in my garbage can, I would have bears and raccoons and skunks and everything else. So, this may actually be better suited for new business, but since we're discussing the Garlic Festival, I was wondering if it might be worthwhile and appropriate to have Shabazz Jackson and Josephine's last name. Thank you. Yes, to have Josephine and Shabazz come and maybe do a presentation to our committee about the success that they had at the Garlic Festival, but also the success they had with their project with the town of Hurley and their composting program there. I think that would be really worthwhile to hear.
Could you reach out, or would you like to?
I'd be happy to reach out, sure.
Thank you. And that's about Garlic Fest and Hurley.
And Hurley.
Hurley's not up and running yet.
Yeah, no.
I talked to them Sunday.
But they had some success in getting, distributing their composters and having people sign up to, So just as kind of a status update, I think, or a status report would be a good thing. So I will reach out. Thank you.
Thank you.
One last statistic. My shift was from 1 to 5. I got there at 1, and there was a little less than one-third of a garbage container of waste. When I left, it was at the one-third mark. So in those 4 hours, it took on very little waste. In that 4 hours, we composted 15 large
bags, and I mean they're 50-gallon size bags of compost. So wow. People are getting the message.
Wonderful. So does the committee recommend how we move forward? Should we add a word to this local law and have a public hearing, or refer it to the Recycling Oversight Committee?
I prefer to refer it. I think this would be a healthy discussion, and they would have a good one, and we could come back maybe with the potential changes in the law that would gather a lot of consensus. So maybe take no action tonight or postpone it, whichever the sponsor prefers.
I think take no action, and we'll talk to the ROC. Okay. Thanks,
as
everyone.
Said, I think it's been a great discussion.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Thanks for all your feedback. Okay, moving on to resolution number 506, urging the Environmental Protection Agency to adopt a not protective determination in its third five-year review concerning the Hudson River PCB cleanup. So I have a motion.
For discussion.
And second for discussion. Am I allowed to second?
Yeah. As the chair?
Thank you.
And Chair, I'd just like to inform you that I have worked on this issue for my work, and so I'll be abstaining from the vote and will not face the discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, and by the Jen Benson.
She was pressured, yeah.
And the second? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
We invited Jen Benson to just say a few words and answer any questions the committee might have.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, sorry about that. My name is Jen Benson. I'm the Environmental Action Director at Clearwater following the footsteps. And Clearwater is one of the founding members of the Friends of a Clean Hudson Coalition alongside Riverkeeper and Scenic Hudson and a whole host of elected officials and other environmental organizations. We've been advocating for decades for remedial action on the Hudson River PCB Superfund site. In November, we released an independent report by scientists comparing how the cleanup has progressed since all of the assets were taken out of the river in 2015. To the goals that were established by the Record of Decision in 2002. We not only failed to meet the decrease that was set forward by the Record of Decision that was due in 2020, which was to get to a level of PCB concentration in fish of 0.04 micrograms per kilogram. We are now off track to hit the goals for 2030. And so our coalition has been working with local, so with municipalities, county governments, including our fine Ulster County government, as well as our state and federal electeds to put pressure on the EPA to put forward a not protective determination. In their draft, they declined to issue a protectiveness determination, with the caveat that they may release an addendum to the report in 2025 or 2026. And so from what our data has shown, concentrations in fish are not declining as anticipated. And as we know, being people that live in Ulster County, people are fishing from the river and are consuming it, both for recreation, but also as a primary source of protein in some instances. Clearwater has a long legacy of having done angler surveys up and down the river. And they've shown through time and also through what we all see, we know people are eating the fish from the Hudson. And so by continuing to delay and EPA's continued in action, the burden of the PCB contamination is put on the individual consumers and is not holding General Electric sufficiently accountable to meet the goals of the Record of Decision or to make eating fish from the Hudson safe again. So I'm happy to take any questions, but that's what the resolution is focused on.
Mm-hmm. Do you call the contamination assets?
So there were assets that were in the river removing the PCBs, which the remedial action was spot dredging in the upper Hudson River, and that took place from like 2009 to 2015. And so then everything was removed from the river. We entered a state of natural recovery, which was also dictated in the Record of Decision, and the data, we are expecting to see an immediate substantial decrease in contamination of PCBs, both in water and sediment and in fish. And we've not seen the decreases that were anticipated by the record of decision. Part of that is because there were much more PCBs in the Hudson than was originally anticipated. And this continued in action over the course. Now we're on our third five-year review. We now have data spanning all the way. We have 2022 data, 2023 data EPA has, and it's clear we're not seeing the levels in fish dropping the way that it needs to be to make it safe. So right now, I can pass around fish consumption advisories, but I'm sure you've seen them. You've seen them before. But the requirements for what is, who can eat how many fish, where and when is really complicated. And it can be really difficult for the public to understand. And so the Friends of a Clean Hudson Coalition, with the support of a growing number of elected officials at all levels, are calling on EPA to issue a not protective. A not protective does not mean immediate action. What it does is it opens up the door for further study to see what else could be done to bring the cleanup back on track. Essentially, the record of decision came out with the best, with advice from the best available technology at the time, and we've come a long way since 2002. And so really getting enough protective would not necessarily mean more dredging, but it would mean the investigation needed to get the cleanup back on track to hopefully meet the 2030.
Could you repeat that last part one more time? I'm sorry. About the not have it.
Yeah, so a not protective determination essentially requires there to be additional study of what actions need to be taken to get the cleanup back on track. It doesn't dictate anything specifically, but it is the opening of the door. A not protective determination is really critical. What we have now is essentially like EPA is doing protectiveness deferred, which means that they can't rule on whether or not the remedy has been protective yet, but then they have this addendum that may be coming in the next 1 to 3 years.
It's just the wording that gets very,
yeah, totally,
very confusing. Yes.
Absolutely. Happy to clarify.
My Spanish is very bad.
Oh, can I hear you in Spanish?
I'm very bad. I'm very bad in English.
Gracias por.
Maybe just pass the English words around. But as you can basically it's broken up by river section, and the closer you get to the contamination, the more severe the restrictions. But there, and basically anyone that's either a woman or under 15, a woman under 50 or a child under 15 are to eat no fish from the Hudson River with very serious restrictions for what's considered the general population, which is everyone. And so you have to know, it's really putting the onus on community members to know where and when it's safe to eat. I'm sorry for the overly excited language diversity. I just grabbed a pile from the office. We try to bring language diversity wherever we go. And I should have grabbed a couple more English ones for today.
Well, you want to put a couple of languages in the hallway.
Perfect. That would be great. I had a handful that included Chinese last night. So
I want one of those.
The New York State Department of Health does a really great job of creating materials. They just have it's a really hard job of dispersing them. So if there is interest by the county to have additional materials, they're all free from the department.
And that was the.
Yeah, so the New York State Department of Health creates the fish consumption advisory and maintains the guidelines. And so they just put out a whole new host of educational materials, and they keep them in like over a dozen languages.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or discussion? Is there any a motion to adopt the resolution? We already did the motion and the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained.
I'm saying
thank you. Now we'll move on to reports.
Thank you, Jen. Legislator Green, would you like to update us on the Zero Waste Implementation Plan report?
I believe that the UCRA is considering taking responsibility for completing the report. I haven't been to the most current meetings, but in my last conversation with some of the board members, they indicated that. So I think it's really important that it get done, and it's really just a matter of about a $5,000 investment to finish it. It's approximately 80% done. And the legislature ran out of funding. The contractor ran out of time. So I think that problem is being solved.
Oh, great. Thank you. Okay. As I was reading the Renewable Energy Implementation Plan that Legislator Green shared with me, I noticed there's a section called Recommendations to Ulster County Government. It's a large plan with a lot of recommendations. I think one way we can start diving into it as a committee is if Liz shares just that section of the REIP. It's called Recommendations to Ulster County Government. I'll share it with you, but I'd like to get it to the committee.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
We actually, somebody went through and summarized those in a separate document, and it's a little bit more refined. We'll be meeting tomorrow, but it might make sense to just send around the recommendations
that are
in the separate document.
Even better. Thank you.
What? Oh, I'm so sorry.
No problem.
Okay.
Okay,
moving on to Upper Reform Committee action item. I'm adding this to each agenda because I think it's up to us to make the actions move forward. So do we want to discuss an action item like the makeup of the recommended expanded board, for example? Or we can discuss it offline if everyone prefers.
If I may, just to say what it is. Vicki is working through, and this is the Reform Committee we're talking about. Yeah. The Reform Committee has recommended an increase in the number of members in the CRA board. Right now, we, the legislature, appoint 5 volunteers. And the recommendation is to give the executive branch the opportunity to, in addition to the 5 that the legislature appoints, to appoint 3. And for the Town Supervisors and Mayors Association to appoint 1 to have more diverse representation on the UCRA board. There is an outstanding question if any of those could be either elected officials or staff. And I think that's a discussion that I can report. Basically, I think the draft of the resolution that Vicki is working on is recommending not more than 2 be elected officials or staff, in other words, legislators or executive branch staff. It may be that in thinking it through, we decide that it should all be volunteers, but I just want to point out it's hard to get really capable volunteers. It's a lot of time, a lot of work, and to get and retain people that will serve on the board that have the knowledge and the background to do that for nothing is challenging. So that's really just a quick overview. And I know this particular resolution would change the enabling resolution UCR. So it would have to go through the Senate, New York State Senate and Assembly. And we would like them to be able to hit the ground running, as it were, in January, because then they get, focused on the budget and other topics. So that's, we're hoping by our next meeting that we'll actually have a draft resolution, but it doesn't have quite the urgency because it's going to have to go through a legislative session to change that. But, start thinking about the pros and cons of what we're calling the 5-3-1 expanded board, and whether or not it makes sense to allow even a minimal number of elected officials or staff.
Manna, can you remind me who the one was after the three?
The Town Supervisors and Mayors Association. And in that case, it really should be an elected official. It should be one of them. I don't want to put language in that says no elected officials, because they should appoint someone who can represent their perspective. They would be less likely to have the need to recuse themselves, but the legislature, for example, approves bonding, and that is a recommendation that the legislature not have to approve bonding. It's a separate issue. It's not coming up right away. I personally think we should, but I think I might be the only one on the committee that believes that we should retain the responsibility to approve or disapprove of bonding over $500,000. I think we've discussed the pros and cons of that, so I won't reiterate that.
Great. Vicki or Amanda, do you want to add anything to the conversation?
Well, she's talking about a different Vicki.
Oh, not from the Reform Committee.
Okay.
Right. Thank you. It's fine. Okay, great. Anyone had legislators to it?
Adding to what Manna Joseph said, I had a
conversation with Mike Baden, and he, like Manna, said that would require action taken by the New York State Senate. And when I initially had that conversation with him, he was anticipating we needed this sooner than we actually did. And so I mentioned it at a fundraiser to Michelle Hinchey that, that action would be forthcoming. But now it's kind of pushed back a little bit. But anyway, Michelle seemed to think that would be, not a big deal, and she'd be happy to work with us on that.
Great. And I saw that Mike emailed me this morning. It may be about this topic, so I'll keep you all posted.
So you can tell him I actually spoke.
All right, any new business? Eric, the only thing you added was...
I do have one thing, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
170x30. Let me just remind everybody that what's going on in North Carolina and the hurricane and how serious things are in terms of climate. And I really do believe that if we get people engaged, that Ulster County can at least make great progress toward 70% renewable. So one of the things I'm going to suggest to that working group, which meets tomorrow, is a pledge that each municipality take a pledge to do everything they can as a municipality and to encourage their businesses and residents to implement renewables and storage wherever possible. The county is already very actively working on that, and one of the things that we have say in is the Government Operations Center. I think that should be a model of not only renewables, which is already being taken into consideration, but also storage to ensure 24/7. If the grid goes down, they can still operate. So that, you know, that's to be considered by the working group. And I've been to the Supervisors Association. There's interest, but not yet very much action. And we have to find a way to translate that interest. I do want to just commend, New Paltz, Rosendale, Marbletown, Olive, Hurley, and the city of Kingston are very actively engaged. But, you know, that's about a third of the municipalities. And the last thing I want to say is we're not naive about what a challenge it will be to go from where we are, which might be generously 30% generation, renewable energy generation in the county. And I'll try to get a better number, but to get to 70% in 5 years is a huge undertaking. But I think the purpose is 70% is the state and the county goal. And if we use that as sort of a key phrase and let each municipality know that any progress helps move us in the right direction. And so we can do it as a friendly competition or whatever. And also some municipalities, the city of Kingston has some real constraints, but they are focusing on their residents, businesses, and the municipality itself are participating in various forms of community solar, and they're working with Mid-Hudson Energy Transition to reduce the consumption by actively practicing energy retrofits and so forth. So to be continued, but I just appreciate the opportunity to keep everyone posted, because if you understand, you can share that with your local officials and help move them in the right direction. And I think the big thing we need to do, and just I have mentioned this before, just to remind the executive branch, is to see how we can bring IRA and other funds into Ulster County and pass that on to the municipalities. And I want to thank them for the 10 SEVI grants, which were the solar energy and electric vehicle infrastructure grants that went to 10 municipalities in the county. So that's the kind of incentivizing to get the action that we need to take.
I wholeheartedly agree, and I've been workshopping the term 70 by 30. It confuses people. They start doing math in their head, and then we have to explain it, and it takes minutes to explain. I think we need something punchier that gets people passionate and hopeful.
Good point. All right, everybody.
Think of square think root. About, I mean, square footage.
Yeah, yeah. Think about what might be understood.
A little bit faster.
Readily.
Great.
And we're certainly open to suggestions.
Thank you.
I agree. Numbers and especially arithmetic operation is not an easy phrase for people. A lot of people just have math phobias. Mm-hmm. So it means something to people who've worked inside it. And so we don't get stopped by numbers and math, but we don't want the public to go that direction. And I think we do have in the New York State Climate Smart Framework, so, you know, several ways of communicating. They're very good. My community has just jumped into Climate Smart and became a bronze certified community. Right. And the Climate Smart metrics are precisely designed to say, here's where you are, and here's a group of next steps that you could take. So I've wondered if we might invite, maybe here or maybe as part of every legislative meeting, to have somebody from the climate smart communities of the various towns and cities that are climate smart come and talk about what they have done and what their next steps are. I think it would get people excited to hear what can be done as community. And I also think we all can be ambassadors for reduction of consumption. I am going around pulling plugs out of walls constantly to reduce vampire voltage. And people say, what are you doing? I say, oh, I'm reducing vampire voltage. And then we have a conversation. It's about in my home, which doesn't have a huge amount of technology, but some, which is where a lot of it gets of the energy consumption goes, I save between $10 and $20 a month by unplugging, turning off and unplugging my equipment at night.
Nice. I do the same thing at work.
Nice. I like work for them too.
Yeah. Well, I work with a bunch of young, basically kids to me. They leave lights on. They leave everything plugged in. They leave coffee maker on all day. And I kind of walk around. And
ambassadors for reduction is very nice. Amanda.
And just two quick points. From the budget speech this afternoon, the county executive did speak to supporting these initiatives. I think someone had mentioned your name being mentioned during the presentation. Looking at supporting municipalities with a proposal to use some of the remaining SEBI funds, the solar and EV funds, towards the local share of an on-site energy manager program that the county is currently using with NYSERDA. So this would allow an additional layer of expertise at the municipal level for interested municipalities who want to really take a deep dive into their energy use. And the other portion of it was creating a working group around energy and municipal energy initiatives as part of the Environmental Management Council. Because the staff are spread thin, and there are so many great night meetings to go to, but it would provide a structure that would allow a little more staff interaction with that group of folks from the municipal level and to be able to support them, with updates about programs or different ideas or experiences, et cetera, and to support the municipalities that way. So those were two small highlights. Beautiful. Of the county budget.
Nice, thank you. Legislator Walz?
Just have a quick general thing, and I'm not a scientist or anything, but I was talking to a gentleman from Gardner, retired gentleman from Gardner, and he and I were comparing notes, and we had, we had, over the course of the last 10 years, we have re-insulated our homes, we've done solar energy, we've tried to buy, buy a new appliance, get the energy efficient, and yet the electric bills just keep climbing. And he had suggested, which I'm not familiar with, that there are other locations where there's like a government, where government takes over the energy portion. And he did his own research, which I don't have with me, that showed that these entities are paying significantly less for electric than we are. So it's a very broad subject, but it would happen today at that meeting today, presentation, I should say. So I just wanted to throw it out there.
Eric. But go ahead, man.
Oh, no. It's
so Sarah Hanishasa has a bill about that. I don't know how far it will go, but it's to actually create a municipal utility.
That's what he... Yeah.
And they have that out on Long Island, although it does have kind of a private board of directors, but it's the Long Island Power Authority, and they've been very active. They've mapped all of Long Island, and they worked with the Nature Conservancy, and I think they're probably second to, I hope, Ulster County will be a leader in this regard, but Long Island is definitely very active. And I just wanted to also say that one way we shortened it was the Ulster County Renewable Energy Implementation Plan Working Group. Now we're just saying the Renewable Energy Working Group. So we're making progress.
Legislator Stewart.
Actually, I'm good. Thank you.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So
The upcoming meeting, before I do that, it will of the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability meeting will be Tuesday, November 5th is our next
Monday.
No.
Tuesday, November 5th has been moved to Monday, November 4th, 5 p.m. Thanks, Joe. And now can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Adjourned? I mean, abstained? We did it, Liz.